just like to thank the Lord for saving me.
Amen.
And
what about that?
We've been working on an old song here, and the words of it just remind me that when life gets hard and we just get kicked down all the time, we can remember that one day that trumpet's going to sound and we're going to see His face.
So
I hope you enjoy this. This is just any day now.
What a blessing. Amen.
Time I'll stop and take the time to look around me. I see the signs of His appearing everywhere. Things He said to come to pass are now before us. I can feel the strange excitement.
Singing, wasn't it? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Boy, I like that. That's an old song. That's good. Good. True, too. Just any day now, our Lord is coming. Well, praise the Lord. We're going to have just a little time of fellowship now. Hope that everybody will be friendly. We've got a big crowd here tonight. By the time all the stragglers get in, it'll be bigger. So let's enjoy the Lord just for a minute. Everybody stand. Turn around there and be friendly to somebody. Let's go. Amen. Turn your Bible to Acts chapter 3. The book of Acts chapter number 3. I'm going to be preaching some special messages on Sunday night. I don't want to tell you what all of them are, but one of them is what a Christian should eat. What does the Bible talk about? About our eating. What to eat, what's wrong, what's right. Bunch of stuff like that. Tonight, I want to bring an extremely important message. Please give me your attention. This message is very, very, very important. I can't think of a more important sermon I preached this year. Unless it might have been last Sunday morning. I don't know. This is on my heart for tonight. I want you to pray for me. I may not be as loud as I usually am, but that don't matter. The Spirit will take the Word of God and use it to help your heart. Acts chapter number 3, I want you to look tonight at verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together. Look how the Holy Ghost chose them words. Peter called John and said, John, you going to prayer meeting? He said, yeah, will you come by and pick me up? Something like that. They went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. Ninth hour of the day would be 3 o'clock in the afternoon, because the day begins at 6. The night begins at 6. The day begins at 6. 6 o'clock in the evening begins the night. There's 12 hours in a day. There's 12 hours in a night. 6 in the evening till 6 in the morning was the night. 6 in the morning till 6 in the evening was the day. So the ninth hour would be 3 o'clock in the evening. Same time Jesus died around in there. The darkness come on the earth. So they had an hour, they had a time appointed when they met to pray. There's a reason the Holy Ghost put that in the Bible. As we get ready for the youth rally in less than 80 days, maybe less than 70, around 70 days now, I'm going to call on y'all tonight to help me, and I'm also going to try to practice what I preach about us getting together, getting somebody, and praying with them. And what I'd like for you to do is get you a prayer partner. Men, some of you guys maybe work same time or same place. Ladies, maybe you're at home with the kids. Maybe nap time's 10 o'clock, something. I want to ask everybody in here, get you a prayer partner. And we're going to start tomorrow morning, Lord willing, and we're going to spend time in prayer for the youth rally. You remember a couple of years ago, we had a youth rally. I mean, they're all good. We never had a bad one. I mean, you can't fast and pray that long and have a bad one. But now, last year was rough. Last year was one of the roughest youth rallies that I've ever been involved in my life. Tell you the truth, there's a lot of it I don't even remember. It was so hard. The devil hit from every single angle. We expect that. But now, if the devil hits, I don't want it to be our fault. I want us to be in spiritual shape so that we can have a youth rally. We got an opportunity. You got 1,000 kids coming. That's a great opportunity. There's not one church in 10,000 can have that many kids come to a meeting. It's an opportunity. It don't just automatically be good. There's got to put some prayer, some preparation, and some work into it. Now what I'm going to do for you tonight is challenge you to pray. You don't hardly ever hear that. You hardly ever hear a message these days on prayer. You know why? We think you can learn it all out of a book. You can learn it all at a camp meeting. You can learn it all at a seminar. You can learn a lot of good things. But listen, there ain't but one way for you to live right and really have the power of God on you, and that's pray. It's proven by history. All the old great Christians in days gone by prayed. Some of them were educated, some of them were not. Some of them were funny, some of them was dry as cracker juice. Some of them was tall, some of them was young, old, but they all had one thing in common. They all prayed. And I'm telling you tonight, people, if we will get a burden and pray, and we're going to be fasting pretty soon too, probably another 30 days, we'll start our fast, but we want to start tonight and pray. I'm going to challenge you, Peter and John got together. Hey, John, you want to go to prayer meeting? No, man, I want to go. There's a ball game coming on. No, he didn't say that. He said, I'll go with you, John, Peter, and I'll pray. I'll go with you, John, and we'll pray. I remember one time when I was a young preacher, I heard somebody preach on prayer, and I made up my mind that I was going to pray from 10:30 to 11 every night. I'd put the kids to bed, and then I would pray from 10:30 to 11. I wasn't going to answer the phone. I wasn't going to do nothing. All right, and 10:30 came, I was on my knees. And I said, "Dear Lord, I pray that you'd help some of my kids, and I pray that you'd help Mom, and I pray you'd help Daddy, and I pray you." And I prayed real good there. And you know, in 5 minutes, you think, "Well, I prayed for everything." That's when you're just getting started. And then you start gripping your hands and saying, "Oh God, help me," and pleading with Him. But finally, the 30 minutes was up. You know, I prayed, and I got in the habit of doing that pretty good. Then I got to preach a revival, and I got out at 9:30 at night. Sir, preacher wouldn't take me out to eat. Then I'd drive home, and it'd be 15 after 11 when I got home. I'd come home from Lenore, Gastonia, somewhere, 11 o'clock at night. And I'd say, "Kid, not I missed my prayer time." I said, "Well, I'll pray." And I'd pray a minute. I'd be sleepy and fall asleep. Next day, get the kids up, go through there, go visit, do all my duties, make radio programs, then preach again that night. And little by little by little, you just get out of it. Now, there's nobody in here probably that hadn't tried that before. You set you aside a time and say, "I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray every morning." As some of you last year, you said, "I'm going to pray every morning 5 minutes or 10 minutes before I go to work. I'm going to set my clock early, or I'm going to leave the TV off or radio or whatever, and I'm going to pray. I'm going to spend time in prayer every morning before I go to work." And you did real good for a while, and then you slip. And then you miss a morning, then you miss another morning. Now, I'm going to challenge you tonight. If you live way off by yourself, you can't get a prayer partner, do it by yourself. But it'd help you a whole lot to do like they did. Peter and John went up together, and at the hour of prayer. Roger's sitting there. Me and Roger spent a little time together this week, and a little fellowship, and he was telling me that he'd been praying, and he's got another man that him and this other man's been praying together at a certain time, isn't that right? At night and stuff like that, and that'll encourage you. The reason that'll encourage you is where there's a lot of time when you think, "Oh, I'm tired, I'm just going to watch TV tonight." But if you know that partner is going to be praying too, it helps you. You're always stronger for two of you. It's just like going visiting. The Lord sent them apostles out in two by two, and the reason, because two are better than one. For if one's down, the other can pick him up. And it's always better. Ladies, I want you to get somebody. They don't even have to go to our church. Just call somebody that you know and you've got confidence in and say, "I want you to be my prayer partner." And for the next, I should have looked at my calendar. I'm guessing 70 days. For the next 70 days, let's try to pray every morning from 10 until 10:30 after the kids have gone to school. Or let's pray from 9:30 to 10 after the kids go to bed. Or let's pray from whatever is your time that you can pray, then let's try to do that. I challenge you. Say, "Come on, Brother Danny, you don't mean..." Listen, if you feel like that, you need it more than anybody in here. I'm telling you, when you think you don't need to pray, you know what your problem is? You think everything's great like it is. I got news for you, buddy. Everything ain't great. I mean, the devil, I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but the devil's come through here and ripped apart 4 or 5 families in the last 5 years, 4 or 5 years. And it's not just here, it's everywhere. Everything ain't great. And you might be the next one on the hit list. He may have his guns turned on you. You don't know. We know not what a day may bring forth. I tell you what I'd rather do. I'd rather be prayed up when the disaster hits than wait till it hits and then have to try to get right and get a hold of God. I'm telling you tonight, I've been doing youth rallies since 1987 was the first one. And the first one come about, well, you know, you've heard me tell it, we had a bunch of kids come home from camp. I know a lot of preachers that they get together and say, "Let's start having youth meetings," and it don't never work. A lot of them say, "Let's just start, boy, we're going to have a 4th Friday night, we're going to meet and have a great..." It don't never work like that. You know how this happened? We come home from camp and the Holy Ghost got on the kids, and I called a preacher in Lenore, Horace Minton. And I said, "Horace, we're going to get all our kids, they're on fire, we're going to get them together Saturday night and eat some hot dogs." And that's how the hot dogs got started. "We're going to eat hot dogs and we're going to have a little preaching and singing." He said, "Do you care if I bring mine?" I said, "No." He called somebody else, they called somebody else, and 300 people showed up. That was in 1987, and we had another one, and about 600 came, and then we had another one, and I finally go to 3,200, the big one that we had in Marion. That's the largest church service that's ever been held in McDowell County for any reason. They ain't never been nothing like that in Burke County, never. Never been nothing even close to it. And I'm going to tell you, and it wasn't no rock band brought in so the kids could rock out and act like a bunch of hippies. You know what it was? Somebody got a hold of God. somebody got with Jesus, and I was one of them. I'm telling you, the power of God moved in. I've never in my life seen such. I mean, kid, one time we had a big revival, and little old bitty kids that big. Y'all remember at that youth camp? I mean, they got to shouting, and the Holy Ghost got on a bunch of little kids. I mean, that big. And you say, oh, that couldn't. It sure did. It sure did. They was raising their hands, screaming and hollering. I seen a bunch of them come through, and their shirts was off, and they're doing like that. And I thought, Lord have mercy, they've got some gift of the Spirit or something. And they'd run out in the woods and got in a bunch of bees and got bee stung coming. And we thought they'd shout. That's truth. That is the truth. We thought they'd shout. That's going like this. And they've got in bees nests, like stung them to death. And we didn't know that for 2 or 3 hours. But I tell you what, it was a blessing. Blessing, blessing. I'm telling you, I've watched some of them videos of our youth rallies over there at the fairground. Get some of them out. It's time. Get some of them out and watch them. You talk about something that gets you in the youth rally spirit. Get your DVDs out. Y'all get them out back there, fellas, and make us some, and we'll show them. Boy, I'm telling you, when we had Curly and Eugene over there at the fairground, and they come out, and they was, I don't know what they was, a Frito Bandito or something, and they come out and done a bunch of old fool stuff like that. Todd jumping on the motorcycle, the ladies making hot dogs, and men making funnel cakes, and the kids. You know what I do? I like to get in there that Saturday evening and pray in my 4Runner and lock it up, and I like to look up and see them buses pulling in there, one right after another. And kid, and Lord, days ever size, shape, and color comes in. Good night. Some of them things come. I don't know. You think, where in the world did that come from? And you can't believe they even come to church looking like that. But they do. And you know what? I believe the Lord's pleased. He said, go out and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. I'm telling you, brother, they's drunks. I mean, they's drug addicts. I mean, and I'm glad, hallelujah, we've got the answer for them. We've got something in us. But I'm telling you, it only comes one way. It ain't through the preaching. It ain't through a skit. It's not through donuts and funnel cakes. It's because somebody gets in a prayer closet and gets a hold of God, and the Holy Ghost conviction sets them on their heart. And that's what got me, and that's what got you, and that's what will get them if they get God. I'm telling you, brother, ladies and gentlemen, somebody needs to pray, and we're going to start tomorrow if it's God's will. All right, I want to say a few things about praying together, and just real quick say these things. First thing I want to say is the devil will hate it. The devil will hate it. Somebody said Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. I believe that. I believe Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. I heard one time, I was down in South Carolina preaching in Florence, and this boy was taking me to eat. It was Steve Brodgen, and me and Steve was going down the road, and I looked up, and there's a car dealership on the hill, and there's a bunch of selling new cars, and there was a tent, like you see at a funeral, and a bunch of people standing around it. I said, what are they doing? He said, that car lot up there, he said, they run promotions. He said, they give away a new car every now and then. Just give them. I said, really? And here's what he told me. He said, they have a contest. He said, you put your finger on that car. He said, there might be 50 people at least standing there putting their finger on that car. And they started like on Monday morning at 9 o'clock. He said, the last man standing with his finger on the car gets it free. And he said, I said, really? I said, they do. He said, oh yeah. And he said, there's people standing there all day, all night. Somebody bring them something to drink. They stand there and drink it. Their kinfolk, they stand there and eat, hold their finger on there. Can't go to the bathroom. Can't sit down. Can't lay down. You stand there like that. And so they stand there like this. And I said, well, how long do they do that? He said, some of them, their ankles start swelling up. I seen someone just stagger off down the field. Like he went into some kind of daze or something, almost asleep. And he said, the man that won the last car stood there 78 hours. Hard to believe, isn't it? Somebody tell me how many days, 24, 48, 7, 3 days? 3.5 days. 3.5 days, is that right? 3 1/4 days. Standing there like that. I don't think I could do that. But he said somebody, real strong young man, stood there 78 hours and won a brand new car. Now when you think about it, 78 hours for a new car is pretty good money. If he went and sold that thing for $25,000, he made $25,000 in 78 hours. The first four or five, that's good money. Man, that last 8 or 10, you earn it. But if you get $25,000 for 78 hours, really, that's a pretty good deal. Wouldn't you work 78 hours for a brand new car? Sure you would. I would. Lord, I'd dig ditches, lay cross ties. I'd lay down and let you lay cross ties on me for 78 hours for a brand new car paid for. Well, of course we would. Now, if a man will stand there like that and deprive himself of food and rest for 78 hours for a car. And I was going down the road and I said, did they really do that? He said, oh yeah. And then I got to thinking. And I thought, here now, we know people that are going to burn forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever in hell. And we can't get people to pray 15 minutes. If I call one all-night prayer meeting, it's like pulling teeth to get people just to pray one night. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there's either one or two things wrong with us. Either we don't really believe what that says, or we don't care. One of them two things. We either don't believe it, or we don't care. And I'm talking about me too. We either don't believe it, or we just don't care. We're saved. Who cares about the rest of the world? I'm telling you tonight, if a man put his hand on a car 78 hours for a new car, surely to God, we can pray an hour in a day, or 30 minutes in a day, to keep our brother, our sister, our neighbor, and for some bus kid out of burning in hell forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. The devil hates it when he sees the weakest saint up on his knees. Amen? They said, the world push-up champion. I don't know who the world push-up champion is, but they said the world push-up champion gets down and does push-ups like this. And he does that. You know how he does that? 4 hours a day. 4 hours a day, not all at once, push-ups. Now, brother, I believe in being in shape and all that, and I do 50 sit-ups every day after I run most of the days, and I believe in all that, but I'll be John Brown if I'm going to do push-ups 4 hours a day. I don't care if it made me look like an Incredible Hulk. I don't care, brother. I shouldn't have said that. John Brown was hung. I'm not that dedicated. I ain't gonna do nothing no 4 hours a day. Sometimes I go to the gym and to exercise by myself in the morning, and I'm the only one over there, and I stay about an hour. I shoot 100 free throws and run 2 miles. I'll see if I can break my record. Shoot 100 free throws, run 2 miles. But I am not going to do push-ups no 4 hours a day. I'm not. Now, if a man can do push-ups 4 hours a day just to be the world champion push-up champion, wow. Wow. When eternity comes and we're going to heaven and hell, here he is, ladies and gentlemen, the world champion push-up pusher. What a joke. Surely, to the Lord, we can pray 15 minutes and beg God to get on our kids and on the youth rally. Surely to God, we can do that. Number two, I said first, God, the devil will hate it. Number two, God will love it. It shows a definite response to His Word. It shows a delight in His will. You know it's God's will for you to pray? He said, I will that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. You know it's God's will for you to pray for your leaders. Yeah. It is. If we prayed for the president as much as we criticize him, the Lord might get rid of him. Amen? That's right. Amen. It ain't going to do nothing to sit around and gripe about it. Let's pray him out. Yeah. Pray God will give us another. She might be worse than Exton. And you know that's coming. You know that's coming, don't you? Unless God stops it, she's going to be the president. You mark my word. Remember me telling you. I'm telling you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we need to pray for those who are in authority and those that make the decisions over us and our school teachers and our policemen and our pastors and our workers at church instead of fussing about your church. Pray for it. These people, it's always said, well, I don't like this and I'm bored and I've heard that before. And blah, blah, blah. How much do you pray for your services this week? How much time do that you spent on your knees saying, God, pour the Holy Ghost out on Shining Light Baptist Church. If every one of us, me included, I'm starting right here. This old boy right here needs this as much as anybody in here. If it started right here in this pulpit, that's why a lot of churches ain't on fire. There's an ice cube in the pulpit. It's got to start right here, and when it does, it'll catch on fire to you, and brother will burn and burn. There ain't no telling what God's not going to do right here in this place. There ain't enough devils in hell or out of hell to stop this church if every one of us pray like we should. It shows a desire to see His work prosper. We're not satisfied with things as usual. Well, we had a good crowd. Well, let's forget it. What's the ball game? No, we shouldn't be satisfied with just a good crowd. We shouldn't be satisfied with 30 on the bus. We shouldn't be satisfied with 20 on the bus. We shouldn't be satisfied with, well, the kids were pretty good in my class today. We shouldn't be satisfied. We want God to do something and get a hold of their heart. God shows it by so many things happen when people do pray. As a matter of fact, the story that I read you a minute ago, a lame man got healed because Peter and John went to prayer meeting. You know that story? The same where I read a minute ago? Right now they met this lame guy, and this guy's saying, you got anything you can hand me? Preacher, y'all got a love offering for me? It's a shame that that's about all people expect from a church, a little money. That's about all the help they think we can give them. And Peter looked down and he said, silver and gold have I none, buddy. But such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. But that old boy jumped up, went walking and leaping and shouting. You know why? Peter and John went to praying. Peter and John prayed. Peter and John prayed. They said one time, somebody got in to see one of the Catholic bishops or something like that, and he's showing him all the riches of the Catholic Church and showing him how rich it was. And he said, you see here, no longer does the church have to say, silver and gold have I none. And I looked back at him and he said, yeah, that's true, but neither can the church say, rise up and walk. And that's true. We've got the silver, we've got the gold, we ain't got the power that the old time apostles had in those days. I said, first of all, the devil will hate it. I said, second of all, the Lord will love it. I say, number three tonight, you will enjoy it. You will enjoy it. You'll prosper in your soul. Amen. You just let your buckets down. Amen. I'm telling you, brother, we Christians are somebody's wrong. Somebody's bad wrong. Us or the world one's wrong. We know who it is. It'll make you powerful in your spirit. When old Peter was released there from jail, and when he raised this guy up and all that, he had the power of God upon him. It'll give you spiritual strength in public warfare. If you'll pray, spend time in prayer, the next time a situation comes up at work where you could be a witness, you won't chicken out. Because the Holy Ghost will be on you and you'll be brave in the Lord. The reason you chicken out, because you watched 2 hours of TV last night and laid your Bible in there on the bedroom somewhere and didn't pray, and you went an opportunity to open up to witness, the devil snuffs you out. That prayer will give you boldness, brother. It'll give you boldness. I'm telling you, it'll give you boldness. You've heard me tell when we first got saved. I was telling Kelly. I said, we used to have prayer meeting, and we used to have this little old building up there in Nebo, and about 10 or 15 of us boys would get together and have prayer meeting every Tuesday night. Y'all teenagers listening? 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18 years old. And we met every Tuesday night, and we'd read our Bibles. No girls, just a bunch of guys hungry for God. And we'd get down and we'd pray. I remember Joey Bean, y'all know Joey, my cousin. We'd all get around there, and we'd all say, all right, we're going to study 15 minutes, and everybody's going to get to preach. And we'd all study our Bibles for 15 minutes, and we'd take turns preaching five, and just go around the circle. You never heard such preaching in your life. Oh, Lord, doctrine, oh, my goodness. I mean, it was Jonah and the whale and David and the giant. So I didn't know what we was talking about. Everybody, we was home. We'd get down and we'd pray. And it wasn't even church night. And we got together. Did y'all teenagers hear me? 15, 16, 17 years old. What do y'all teenagers do on Tuesday night and Thursday night? Do you get together with your friends and study the Bible? That's the difference between our group and this modern day group. You have to make them come nowadays, even the church. Now, mamas and daddies, somebody got to get a hold of God. Somebody got to pray. Somebody got to pray till the Lord comes and gets a hold of these young people again. Well, In conclusion tonight, I'll say this. God does things when people pray. Daniel got out of the lion's den. Peter was released from prison. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego got out of fire. God does things when people pray. Number two, prayer stimulates us and evokes our highest blessings from the Lord. Number three, prayer purges us in God's presence, and sin will die in our lives if we'll pray about it enough. Said a man come to a preacher one time. He said, I got this bad habit. And he said, I just figure it's just me. Then I'll never quit. Might as well just give up. And the preacher said, I'll tell you what you do. You pray about it 15 minutes a day. Come back and see me. I don't care what kind of bad habit you got. Cussing, drinking, slipping around here a little bit here and there. You get down on your knees and you pray about it for 15 minutes every day until this time next Sunday and come back and tell me. You may not be perfect, but I'll guarantee you one thing. You'll get the upper hand on that thing. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's cocaine, brother. God's able to do anything. Hey, don't you tell me that a drug addict can't be cured by the Lord Jesus Christ. I've seen people drunk and get saved and sober up right there on the spot and stay sober the rest of their life. Seen it happen. I'm telling you tonight, God still has the power. You pray about it 15 minutes a day. Don't grunt, well, it's just the flesh and nobody's perfect. Pray about 15 minutes a day. You got a problem? You're in some kind of mess you ain't got no business being in? In with a group you have no business fooling with? Pray about it 15 minutes a day. Now, next Sunday, come back and tell me if you ain't doing better. Prayer is expensive. It'll cost you. It'll cost you a little time. I think we might have some of the books in the books back there, E.M. Bounds. If you've never read any of those books by E.M. Bounds, called The Power of Prayer, Power Through Prayer, stuff like that. There's several of them. Or David Brainerd. Or Pray and Hide. Every year before the youth rally, I get one of them books. I got them at home, and I read some of that Pray and Hide. John Hyde prayed hours and hours. Some of them guys would get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and pray 2 hours before they started their day. My goodness. I mean, you feel like you're in the presence of an angel, man, when you're around people like that. People, we need to pray. We need to pray. I'm not saying it's wrong for you to enjoy a ball game. I'm not saying I do. I'm not saying it's wrong for you to you go to the mall and buy you a new dress or a pair of shoes or go eat. That's good. There's nothing sinful about that. But if we can take time for all that, we can take time for God and spend some time in prayer. That's what I'm saying. And I'm going to ask you tonight, while they're coming to get us a song, teenagers, mamas and daddies, ladies, it might be husbands and wives. It'd be great if husbands and wives could do this together. Let's get us a prayer time. And by God's grace, you may not do it every night. I got to preach down in Moxville in a couple of weeks, all week. And I got to preach down in near Charlotte and over up in Reidsville in the whole month of March. And so I can't stay on an exact schedule every day because mine changes. But you might be work 8 hours a day, come home, you're on a good schedule, you can get you a prayer time. And keep it. And if you miss a day, get right back in there and do it the next day. Let's pray. Let's pray. Get your prayer partner. And let's pray. Come on, let's stand tonight. Amen. Amen. We're standing. We're standing tonight. I wonder how many would meet me here at the altar.